coming to you from Classic City,
the capital of the Bulldog Nation.
It's time for another edition of the podcast designed for the most diehard Georgia fans in the country.
Here are your hosts,
Tyler and Charlie.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Glory UGA Podcast. You guys know the drill. I'm Tyler, and back with me today here on our Thanksgiving night episode to help me make our Week 10 Picks of the Week is my coach, Charlie. And Charlie, you might not want to admit this. You might want to keep this to yourself. I got to ask it. How much damage did you do at the Thanksgiving table today?
A lot, obviously. I can eat.
Oh, you can actually put it away. People might not realize that. Like, you're fit, you're in shape, but it's impressive how much food you can actually put away.
And I always stop because I know that people are starting to judge me. But I really want to just keep eating.
As much as you eat, you don't eat till you're full? Because it seems like you have to eat till you're full.
I mean, no, I can always eat more.
Whoa. It's impressive. Are you a Thanksgiving food kind of gal? Like, is that up your alley?
I mean, my family doesn't do Thanksgiving food. We do ribs. So, yeah, there's no
time. I'm actually okay with that because I think, and I'm probably going to get a lot of pushback on this from our listeners, which is okay. I hope everyone enjoys your Thanksgiving food. But turkey does nothing for me.
Yeah, no thank you.
Zero. Actually, I respect the ribs. Like, ribs are way better than turkey. Even the best turkey in the world is probably not as good as, like, the worst rib in the world. Is that fair? Like, I think wow, okay. I might have to bring this up to my family, because I guess some of them eat the turkey, but I feel like the turkey just sits there. Like, they always throw it out, because like no one's really eating it. It's always the sides to me, right?
I think people feel like they have to have it. Yeah, my family's a little different, so yeah, there's none of that.
So you have the ribs. That's awesome. I'm going to try to work that into our Thanksgiving. What about sides? Are you a sides kind of person?
Oh, yeah.
That's all I eat. I eat two things at Thanksgiving. I eat macaroni and cheese. My wife makes this 5-cheese mac and cheese, which is incredible. It's got the Ritz crackers crumbs on the top, which is kind of like, that's a Thanksgiving kind of thing, right? But it's incredible. I eat that. I destroy that because I get it like 3 times a year. I get it on my birthday, on Thanksgiving, and on Christmas. That's it. And then sweet potato casserole. I'm a big time sweet potato casserole kind of guy. Love that stuff. Especially the it's like candied nuts on the top.
It's straight sugar.
Yeah, it's incredible. I know different people make sweet potato casserole differently, but my family's always made it with, it's the yams and then like straight up sugar. It's candy on top is what it is. It's candy nuts. And that's really what, I mean, I'm a guy.
A lot of butter probably. Oh, I'm which sure. Which is why it's good.
I go in there and scrape all that stuff on the top. Everyone always comes in to get theirs. Like, where's all this stuff? I'm like, I don't know. Somebody ate.
I'm not surprised.
No, I don't do that. I get mad when other people do that. It really bothers me. Mm. But are you a sweet potato yam kind of gal?
Again,
everything.
We'll eat anything.
Anything.
Pretty much.
Which is actually, I can attest to that. I've seen that happen many a time. But so Thanksgiving is always fun. A little shorter this time around. Didn't want to have anybody die, but still good to see the family. Have a good time. But as you said on the show earlier this week, Charlie, what was that? What episode was that? The South Carolina preview episode. It can get to be a little much at times. So it's always nice to be able to go back home, which I love my family, but it's nice to be able to get back home. So here we are, Thanksgiving night. And we've got some picks to make today. Last week was fine, not as good as the previous week where Charlie and I both went 5-0 straight up. Charlie went 6-2 straight up and 3-5 against the spread, bringing her running totals to a very impressive. Charlie, still, like you were saying early in the year, it was just luck. Like, it can't just be luck now, right? I mean, here we are like 10 weeks into the year and you're sitting here 50-21 straight up.
I didn't know that I went 6-2 last week.
Yeah, 6-2 last week. Again, you just don't even keep up with it, which is, I don't understand. No. It's infuriating for me. Someone who keeps up with it as closely as I do. Here you are, like, oh, here's my picks, and I'll find out next week what I got.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good for you. Very impressive. 50-21 straight up, 35-35 against the spread. So still right at 500 against the spread. Still solid. Well, I went 5-3 straight up and 4-4 against the spread, bringing my season totals to 47-24 straight up and 41-30 against the spread. Charlie leads me, you guys can do math, but she leads me by 3 games straight up, and I lead her by 6 games against the spread. And like the games we did miss last week, they were close. We both had Wisconsin over Northwestern. Wisconsin outgained the Wildcats by 100 yards in that game, but they turned the ball over 4 times. Graham Mertz, who was really good in week one, maybe isn't what everyone thought he was going to be. A little bit overreaction after week one, turned the ball over. I think he had 3 picks in that game. And so Northwestern, there's again, like we told you guys last week, there's a good, solid team. They're always going to be in it because they play good defense. They don't kill themselves with turnovers. And Wisconsin did. Wisconsin killed themselves with turnovers. Also had a couple their two top receivers were out in that game, which didn't help. I didn't know that when I made my pick, which is kind of just the COVID era. It's what happens. You just got to deal with it and roll with it. But Wisconsin ends up losing that game. So Charlie and I, we both lost that one. And Charlie, you and I both had Arkansas over LSU. And they got screwed. Did you watch that game?
Yes.
They got screwed by some horrible SEC officiating. Go figure, right? Like, when has that ever happened before? And then I took, the other game I lost was Tennessee over Auburn. I took the Volunteers over Auburn as my upset special of the week, which didn't pan out because I was dumb and did not properly account for the Jared Guarantano just self-destructive gene, which I've talked about all season long, but I kind of looked past it in that pick, but that was dumb. Again, Tennessee is another team that outgained Auburn by about 100 yards, but Guarantano threw another terrible pick six from the Auburn 12-yard line when they were about to go in there and score, which essentially accounted for the difference in that game. I still like that bet. I will still stand by that bet because they should have won that game. They easily could have won that game. Definitely should have covered. But again, Guarantano, man, he sure knows how to implode and self-destruct. And he did that yet again on the Plains. But Charlie, I went back and looked at our picks over the past couple weeks, and I figured out your secret.
Tell me.
It's not luck. You are all chalk. That's what you do. You just don't pick upsets. It's been like over a month since you picked a team that was more than a 3-point underdog in a game.
Oh, I mean,
which is fine. Like that's smart betting. Like you're picking the favorites more often. Like there's always upsets, but more often than not, the favorite's gonna win. But you are all chalk. While I'm sitting here, like I'm going out on a limb, taking Tennessee to beat Auburn -10.5 on the road. I always have to throw my upset special out there every week.
But it's working.
What? Yours is working. Yeah, it's definitely working. I'm not criticizing you, but I've been racking my brain. Like, how is she beating me? I'm going back and looking. It's like, okay, you're not even trying to pick upsets. You're just going with the teams. I mean, look, those are the teams that you think are going to win because they should win. And so I'm trying the rest of the way this season, however many weeks we have left. I'm going to try to refrain from going with those crazy upset picks. I think it's just fun to have an upset special a week to throw out there every week. And I've hit a bunch of those. I haven't ever hit every single one of them. I did not hit the one last week, Tennessee. I knew Tennessee was a little bit of a reach, but I thought they had a chance. And they did have a chance. Again, they outgained Auburn. They just had Jared Guarantano at quarterback. So, Charlie, I'm going to try to emulate you the rest of the way. And I'm going to go with the teams. I'm not going to go all chalk, but I'm going to try to be judicious in the upsets that I throw out there. I like throwing the upsets out there. It's fun. I do enjoy that. I like to hit those. It's really fun when you nail one, but it also gets you behind the standings, and I don't want to lose. I'm also competitive, so I want to win. So I figured you out. But all right, so let's go ahead and get into the picks. We got a couple games on Friday, right? What are we starting with?
We are starting with number 2 Notre Dame at number 19 North Carolina. Possibly the best game of the weekend, or the game to have potentially the greatest upset of the weekend. And the Fighting Irish will be going to Chapel Hill to see if they can stay at number 2. Notre Dame is the favorite by 5. However, I think UNC has the ability to beat Notre Dame at home on Friday. UNC will be motivated to knock off the number 2 team in the nation. UNC's defense isn't that great, but they may be able to hold off the Irish. We'll see. So I'm going with UNC for the upset.
Oh, here you are.
I'm picking upsets.
Are you doing that just because talked about how you're being all chalk?
Check the spreadsheet. It was already in there.
Let me actually timestamp this. Look at the spreadsheet. Okay, so yeah. All right, yeah. 3:37 this afternoon. Were you still doing Thanksgiving at 3:37?
No, that was yesterday. Okay. Check the date.
Okay. Oh, fine. Whatever. Fine. 3:37 yesterday. You did have North Carolina. All right. So there goes my whole analysis of what you're doing. But you haven't been doing that. Come on. You know that. All right. Anyway. So yeah. Man. North Carolina. Like this offense, I think you can make an argument that this is the best offense in the country. They can run the ball and they can throw the ball and they are lethal at both of those. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the country. They have two great running backs, kind of like a Sony Michel, Nick Chubb-esque backfield, not quite to that caliber, but you got Carter Williams back there who are just lights out running the football, and they're great out of the backfield as receivers as well. You got De'Ami Brown and Daz Newsome that are as good of a 1-2 punch at receiver as there is in the country. So you have the quarterback, you have two great receivers, two fantastic running backs. The offensive line has been a bit of a bugaboo at times, but they are dynamic on offense. They can absolutely put up points on anybody. But their defense, guys, it like they gave up 606 yards last time out against Wake Forest. I watched that game. It was a fantastic game to watch. I hope a lot of you guys were able to catch that game. Just fun to watch. But they're still, they're not Ole Miss level bad. Yeah, 606 yards is terrible, but that hasn't been the rule on the year. I mean, they're middle of the pack in the country in total defense, but they have been trending in the wrong direction. But they're not going to give up 600 yards out every single time. And I don't think Notre Dame is equipped to go out and put up 600 yards on North Carolina. I don't think their offense is that dynamic. But here's one area, Charlie, that gives me a concern. Because I think North Carolina can win this game too. Like, I think Notre Dame is primed to be upset. Of course, they're hearing about it. But I think North Carolina is good enough, especially coming off the bye week, to be able to actually go out there and beat Notre Dame at home. But Notre Dame is top 25 in the country in sacks. I mentioned North Carolina's offensive line is kind of like their bugaboo. It's their issue. They're 109th in the country in sacks allowed. If they cannot protect Sam Howell, then it doesn't really matter what kind of receivers you have on the outside because they're not going to consistently be able to get the ball out there. So that is one matchup that really favors Notre Dame. But on the other side, like we've been telling you guys all year long that modern football has become about offense. That's what wins games. Now, you have to have a good enough defense, North Carolina's defense. I don't know if they're good enough, but I'd also say Notre Dame's offense, I don't know if they're dynamic enough. I know they put up enough points to beat Clemson. But guys, Clemson was ravaged by injuries on the defense in that game. They had a couple key players out. And Ian Book played the game of his life that week. He played pretty well in the follow-up game against Boston College. But again, I just don't know if that's who Ian Book is game in and game out. He has not been that game in and game out throughout his career. Now, maybe he's turned the corner. I don't know. But I need to see it one more time in another big game here. So I'm with you, Charlie. This is going to be my upset special of the week, but you already took it from me. But I'll go with you here. I got North Carolina to pull the upset over Notre Dame at home on Friday afternoon. I think it's a 3:30 game. I'm really excited about this. I got one more like mini Thanksgiving to do. I'm trying to get to Columbia, South Carolina, at least by halftime of this game so I can pull up a chair at a sports bar there and watch the rest of this one. I'm really excited to watch this game. I think there's going to be some fireworks in this one. And if North Carolina doesn't pull the upset, they're going to push Notre Dame because they can just score. Notre Dame's defense is really, really good. But guys, we have a really, really good defense too. And look what's happened to us against the two best offenses we face. I think North Carolina's going to put up points. The only concern there is if they have issues protecting Sam Howell. But they can protect him, give him time. Then I think they have a chance to go into this game and pull off the upset and beat Notre Dame. So I'm going to be rooting for the Heels.
All right. The other Friday game has Texas hosting Iowa State. Texas is only favored by one as the home team. The Cyclones are 6-2 and currently ranked number 13, four spots ahead of Texas. I guess the rankings suggest that this should be a close game, but I don't think it'll be too close. I'm going with Iowa State for this one. Texas isn't back, and they won't be back on Friday either.
Shots fired. You think Tom Herman, I think he saved his job, I think, by beating Oklahoma State and West Virginia, but there was a lot of smoke around there. I still don't know. If they don't finish the season on the right foot here, if they lose to Iowa State and falter down the stretch, he still might end up losing his job. But I think you're right on this one, Char. This is essentially a pick 'em game. And I know Texas, they've won a couple in a row. I think they won three in a row now. They beat Oklahoma State. They beat West Virginia, which are two good teams in the Big 12. But the thing is, they were outgained by 130 yards over those last three games against Baylor, Oklahoma State, and most recently against West Virginia. Yeah, they won all three of those games. Nice three-game winning streak, but they were outgained total combined by 130 yards over those last three games. It's been smoke and mirrors, guys. That's what I'm saying here. Texas is, you're right, Charlie, they're not back. Sure, they won three in a row. Of course, you hear some people say, oh, we're back now. No, you're not, guys. It's smoke and mirrors. Just watch the games. They were so lucky to beat Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State turned the ball over, I think, five times. They gave outgained them by 300 yards. And Iowa State, on the other hand, they had some issues kind of getting their footing early in the year. We know they lost to, it was Arkansas State in week one. But they are rolling right now. Kansas State is not a great team this year, but they're always one of those teams, kind of like Northwestern. Just they play good, solid defense. They don't kill themselves on offense. But Iowa State just steamrolled Kansas State last week. I mean, I think it was 38-0 was the final score. They outgained them 539-149. Iowa State is rolling, guys. They're getting on track right now. Breece Hall at running back as a sophomore, top five in the country in rushing, averaging almost 150 yards a game. Brock Purdy was kind of iffy early on. This is a guy coming in essentially his third year as a starter. I expected him to take a big step forward this year, and he didn't do that off the bat, but he's really starting to kind of pick up the pace. He's playing much better defensively, do a good job. Matt Campbell always has them ready. So I think Iowa State goes into Texas, and I think they win this football game. I think they win this game by a touchdown, at least.
All right. to finish off the Friday slate and what I think is the first Pac-12 game we've picked all season. Well, their season just started.
I think this is the first one we picked all season.
We've got the Oregon Ducks traveling to Corvallis to take on in-state rival Oregon State in the Civil War. You probably think that's the best rivalry nickname in college sports, right?
It's up there. Okay, so if I had to do, okay, top three, it's top of my head. I think the Civil War is up there. I think the Holy War is the best one. BYU and Utah, yeah, that's incredible. That's the one. Holy War. And I actually, call me biased if you want, clean old-fashioned hate, Georgia Tech, that's pretty good too. I put that in the top three. But Civil War, Holy War, probably up there is the top two.
Well, we don't ever have to play Georgia Tech
again. No, but just I'm the nickname, fine. Clean old-fashioned hate. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we don't need to play Tech anymore as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, the nickname is great.
All right, Oregon just missed out on the top 10 in the initial college football playoff rankings and are favored by 13.5 over the Beavers in this one. Both of these teams just started playing a few weeks ago. It's a rivalry game. I'm going to go with Oregon to win with State to cover.
Oregon State to cover. All right, fair enough. I like where your head is at with Oregon to win. I know this is a rivalry game, and yes, crazy things tend to happen in rivalry games, but I really like the Ducks in this one. It's kind of interesting. It's a strange team because Oregon, with nine returning stars, essentially nine returning stars on defense, I expected them to be really good on that side of the ball. I actually expected that side of the ball to carry them this year. And I had questions about this offense with Justin Herbert heading off to the NFL. But it's been the other way around. It's been the offense carrying this Oregon team through the first three games. The defense actually, like, they've been, like, maybe okay. But they haven't given up less than 413 yards in any of their first three games. They've actually surrendered 64 points over the last two games against Wazoo and UCLA. I actually watched both those games, and the defense is they have good players. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau is really good. Noah Sewell is awesome. I told you guys I really, really wanted that guy at inside linebacker. That guy is going to be a superstar. He got hurt about halfway through the UCLA game, though, but they have some players on that side of the ball. They're just not really performing at a really high level right now. But they are 3-0. But saying that, they have been pushed. Like I said, they've been pushed in each of these last two games against Washington State and UCLA. But the Oregon State offense isn't exactly dynamic. I don't know if they are situated to be able to take advantage of a Oregon defense that has been underwhelming at times this year. Jamar Jefferson, though, like, he's a stud at running back for the Beavers. And he's one of the better running backs that nobody talks about. He's gone over 300 yards in each of the three games this year. Almost hit 200 last week against Cal. But as an entire offense, they're only averaging 354 yards a game over the first three. That's because quarterback Tristan Gebbia, a first-time starter, former transfer from Nebraska, former top 200 player in the 247 composite, I just don't think he's ready to win this type of game. He's still trying to get his feet wet and feel things out in this offense. While Oregon quarterback Tyler Shuck is really playing well replacing Herbert. I really have questions about how good Shuck could be this year, but that guy's playing really well right now. He's completing about 67% of his passes. He's playing smart. He's accurate. He's actually been pretty explosive when they've asked him to throw the football, and he's their second-leading rusher. He's a really dynamic runner as well, which you wouldn't necessarily think just looking at the guy, but he can actually move pretty well. I think he's clearly the better quarterback in this game. Oregon has just simply more talent overall. I know it's on the road, but how much does that really matter when it's in-state? You're not traveling that far, and there's nobody in the stands. So give me the Ducks to win. They haven't been dominant this year, so Charlie, I wouldn't be shocked if you were right and Oregon State covers this spread. But I'm gonna take Oregon to get the late cover, a backdoor cover. I say they win by two touchdowns.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Florida will be hosting the Kentucky Wildcats in Gainesville on Saturday. Florida's probably pretty excited to be ranked number 6 after the first college football playoff rankings came out on Tuesday night. And they will be playing to make sure they keep their spot as the SEC East champion, because the only way they have a chance of getting into the playoffs is if they play in the SEC championship game, which they should.
I think they almost have to win it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Depends on the score.
It depends on what happens around them, sure. But if they, I mean, a two-loss floor team isn't getting in over undefeated Cincinnati. Do you really think that? Cincinnati's close enough. They were number 7, right?
Nah.
Undefeated Cincinnati, two-loss Florida team.
But then there's Texas A&M.
Right, but if A&M runs the table, one-loss A&M team that beat Florida, I know they did not get...
Right, I'm saying in that case they would have to beat Alabama.
That's what I'm saying. I think
they have to beat Alabama. But if the score is close, you never know.
I think they have to beat Alabama to get in.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
We'll see. Who knows? But the Gators are obviously a 23.5 point favorite because Kentucky just hasn't been playing well on offense or defense. So I'll take the Gators to win and cover.
God, Kentucky. Like, what has happened? They have just fallen apart.
Notice I didn't have much to say.
I mean, they just have. There isn't much to say. I mean, like, actually, I had Kentucky on my bookie last week, not to win, not to even cover. I had them to lose by. I had Alabama to beat them by 37 to 42 points. Little did I know that Alabama was going to beat them 63-3. There were some bad turnovers, pick sixes in that game, but Kentucky is just, God, they're so bad right now. They, in fairness, they had like 10 guys out last week, which I had, like, this is what's making it so hard to make picks this year and to bet on teams, is because you don't know until like basically kickoff how many guys are going to be out, who's out. You just don't know. Like, a couple of teams here and there, you know, guys early in the week are out. But, like, a lot of times you'll find, like at kickoff, oh, yeah, 10 guys are going to be out, like you found out against Alabama with Kentucky last week, including Chris Rodriguez, their top running back. It's like, oh, cool, awesome. That's going to work out well. And, obviously, it did not work out well. I mean, Kentucky's offense, guys, they've cracked the 300-yard mark one time in the last 6 games. To make matters worse, they've actually been held under 200 yards in half of those games. I mean, guys, they can't move the football. They simply cannot move the football. This team is a shell of what I thought they were going to be. And a lot of it is because of injuries and COVID, but it's just a bad look. And Florida, I mean, defensively, they're not very good. But, I mean, Vanderbilt still put up some yards on them last week. But Kentucky just, they cannot threaten anybody on offense. They simply cannot threaten anybody on offense. Florida is putting up points all over the place this year. Their offense is humming. We know that. So, I hate to say it. I don't want to pick the Gators to win and cover, but yeah, I've got to pick the Gators to win and cover this one. Kentucky just can't stop. They can't do anything right now. They might as well not even be playing.
Yeah. All right. Well, Nick Saban has COVID and won't be at the game on Saturday in Tuscaloosa when the Tide takes on Auburn in the Iron Bowl. I don't think there's much to talk about here. Saban won't be there, but I still think Bama will dominate. Maybe not by 24.5 points. So I'm picking Auburn to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Bama's just considerably better. It's a huge rivalry, so Auburn will bring something to the table.
They always have a little something. Most of the time have a little something for Bama. But they don't play well in Tuscaloosa.
This is true. All the wacky stuff always happens.
Yeah, it's in Auburn.
At Auburn.
Yeah, yeah, look, Auburn's not as good as Alabama. Alabama's going to win this. They absolutely should win this football game. I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, they're going to win. Because like it's a rivalry. Crazy things happen. We've seen crazy things in this rivalry. So, I mean, but Alabama is the better team. Clearly. Head and shoulders above a better football team. But Auburn, like, the one saving grace Auburn might have in this game is that they have been running the football a lot better. And that was one of their issues early in the season, especially when we played them. They just simply had no running game. Tank Bigsby wasn't their featured guy yet. They're still working with DJ Williams. But Tank Bigsby has taken over. And coming into last week, now he got hurt last week. He's got a hip injury right now. But coming into last week, they had over 200 yards rushing in 4 straight games. They are moving the ball on the ground. Now, if Tank Bigsby doesn't play in this game, Auburn has no chance whatsoever. I do think Alabama covers if he's not playing. Because I don't think Bo Nix is good enough to put this team on his back and go out there and win the game with his arm. He's just not that good. Seth Williams is a really good receiver. Anthony Schwartz is coming on as a receiver. We know how fast he is. But Bo Nix, I just don't believe in Bo Nix. I just don't. I simply, especially when he's on the road. Bo Nix's home and road splits are ridiculous. On the road, this guy is terrible. At home, he's pretty good. On the road, he's terrible. And this game happens to be on the road in Tuscaloosa. So if he doesn't have Bigsby back there to lean on the run game, I just don't know how they have a chance to even remotely stay close in this game. And who knows? Like, they've been very coy so far this week about whether Bigsby's going to play. We don't know. I would probably lean towards no. Even if he does play with a hip injury like that, like, he doesn't get better in a week. He's not going to be 100%. So I'm going to go, but man, I don't know. There's a chance he plays. I just don't know the injury situation. You don't know with the COVID situation. So I'm going to definitely go Alabama to win. 24.5, it's a lot of points. They're definitely capable of covering that. But Auburn does have the second best pass defense in the SEC. They've really improved as the season's worn on. So I'm going to go with Alabama to win, Auburn to cover. Maybe Bigsby's able to play. They're able to run the football a little because I do think Alabama's defense is still vulnerable, really, against the run or pass, but especially on the ground. I think you can run on this team. We had some success running the ball. We just didn't do it enough in that game. So I think Auburn's going to be able to run the ball a little bit, enough to maybe take the air of the ball somewhat in this game. And with a good solid pass defense, they're not going to stop Alabama. Maybe hold them under that 24.5 spread. So let's go Auburn to cover.
All right. I really wish this next game was today, but it's not. I'm talking about the Egg Bowl, which will be in Oxford this year. Leach and Kiffin are both in their first year of this rivalry, and surprisingly, the line is only in favor of Ole Miss by 9.5. Although Mississippi State's defense is pretty good, so I guess that explains it. I think this will be a close one with Ole Miss coming out on top and Mississippi State covering. I do wish they would have a camera following each coach during the whole game because I think that would be pretty entertaining. But I can't wait to hear the rest of the press conferences tomorrow.
Oh, it's fun.
And Saturday.
I haven't seen enough of that this week. I need to go. I was expecting to be all over the place. I haven't seen a ton of like Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin this week, which I figured would be all over the place. But maybe I just haven't looked. It's been a busy week. But yeah, so who'd you pick in that one more time?
Ole Miss with Mississippi State covering.
Ole Miss, Mississippi State covering. I think Ole Miss is the better football team. They're just further ahead in the transition to Lane Kiffin than what they are in Starkville right now. Now, I was impressed with what I saw from Mississippi State last week here in Athens. And when I say impressed, like they just looked functional. They had not been functional on offense since the LSU game in week one. And Will Rogers, the freshman quarterback, he's learning that offense. They're still not a well-oiled machine, but he's understanding how to attack the rush three, drop eight, which is what they had seen all year since the LSU game. Taking what the defense gives him, all those things. He wasn't turning the ball over. So if he can go in this game and not turn the ball over, because that's what was killing them, you know, before our games, they had like 19 turnovers coming into our game, and that's just not going to get the job done. So if he can protect the football, I think they can certainly cover the 9.5, but They're not explosive, guys. That's not necessarily what their offense is built to be. Ole Miss is. And I know Mississippi State does have a good defense. Those guys play well on the defensive side of the ball. They're still missing a lot of guys from opt-outs and COVID and injuries and the whole nine yards. They're not going to play Ole Miss like they played us, all right? Ole Miss does run the ball really well. Jerrion Ealy, Snoop Connor, those guys can run the football. But they don't run the ball like we do. And they're obviously, throughout the year, have posed more of a threat with a passing game. So I don't expect them to come out, Mississippi State to come out and try to defend Ole Miss like they tried to defend us with a bunch of man-free and zero coverage out there. They're not going to do that because they'll get torched. But I just think Ole Miss at the end of the day is just too explosive. And this Mississippi State offense, I know they're much better against us, but I don't know if that's what they're going to be the rest of the season. So give me Ole Miss to win and cover the 9.5.
All right. Texas A&M is seeing how it feels to be ranked number 5 in the playoff rankings, sitting right outside those coveted 4 spots. This is how UGA felt the past 2 years.
Yeah, we know this position well.
Yeah, sorry, Aggies, it sucks. We know.
Yeah.
Anyways, LSU is not playing well this season, as you all know, and there's drama swirling around Coach O and the entire program, which is part of the reason A&M will win and cover the 14.5. Texas A&M should be ranked number 5 in my opinion, and I'm really interested to watch this game since they haven't played in a few weeks, right?
I think since the 7th of... Yeah, I think this will be the first game in 3 weeks. I think
the
7th of November was the last game.
It may get ugly depending on how bad LSU plays on Saturday. We'll see.
All right, I gotta challenge you here. You really think A&M's the 5th best team in America right now?
I mean, I think there are arguments for which team could be there.
I don't think that they're... I mean, let me pull up the college football playoff rankings real quick.
I don't think they'll stay there.
I mean, I guess if you look at the college football playoff rankings, you got to think, okay, well, who is actually better than A&M? I mean, Florida? Well, no, they beat Florida. So I can't say Florida. I think Cincinnati could really push A&M. I know that we had this conversation last week. I think Cincinnati could push them. Northwestern is doing it with smoke and mirrors right now. They're a good, solid team. Number 8 in the country is laughable. I mean, we're not the best. We're not great, but we would destroy Northwestern. I can't say we're better than A&M this year. We just maybe with JT Daniels, yeah, absolutely we are. I mean, obviously that wasn't the case all year. Miami, no, A&M's probably better than Miami. Oklahoma, that'd be an interesting game. So I don't know. Maybe they are the 5th best team, and maybe that says something about this year. But I would just say like, our team in 2018, 2019, well, last year towards the end we were banged up offensively, but especially the 2018 team that was number 5 in the country, left out of the college playoffs, was significantly better than this A&M team. So it just goes to show you how year to year, it can vary so much. Number five in 2018 versus number five in 2020, very, very different teams. Since our 2018 team would have run this 2020 A&M team. Yeah, in my opinion. They're just, like, I just year. When I see them sitting at number five, it's like, yeah, I guess, like, you look at all these teams, yeah, I mean, none of those teams are really, probably necessarily better than them, but it's just, like, you watch them play, and you're like, you're the fifth best team in the country? Like, what's going on with college football this year? But anyway, you're right, Charlie, they have a long layoff. It's been about 3 weeks since they played, and it's tough to know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah, you can certainly get healthy and rest up, but you can also be rusty coming off a long layoff like that. But LSU, like, I don't think LSU is a team right now that's going to go out there and beat A&M on the road. It's been an interesting rivalry over the years. I mean, a couple years ago, we had, what, seven overtimes? Which, I mean, I remember watching every single snap in that game. That was a lot of fun to watch. I just don't think LSU is ready right now, especially with Miles Brennan. Looks like he's likely out for the year. TJ Finley's fine at quarterback. He played better against Arkansas. Much better than he played against Auburn. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's why they lost that game. And they have still have some good receivers. Terrace Marshall's still really good. Running game is coming along. Defensively, they're improving, but I mean, Felipe Franks still threw for over 300 yards against them. They're still a major liability through the air. A&M, though, like, the thing about A&M is Kellen Mond, he's hit or miss. Like, he's certainly better than he ever has been this year. He's taken a solid step forward, but they're not dynamic at wide receiver. Weidemeyer is good at tight end. I just, again, A&M, I guess they're the fifth best team in the country. I guess, but they're just not your typical number five team in the country. I don't think they're a dominant team by any stretch of the imagination. I think LSU can absolutely play with them. LSU's defense is too suspect for me to go out that far on a limb and say they're going to pull the upset on the road. But I am going to say A&M to win this game. I'm also going to say LSU to cover, though. I think LSU can score, and I think they can stay with A&M enough to cover the 14.5. That hook is what gets me there, that extra little half a point there. So A&M to win, LSU to cover.
All right, and the last game. Well, last year, South Carolina game was
disaster. We don't need to talk about that, do we?
And now the Dogs have their chance to get revenge for a loss in double overtime that none of us want to remember. But I just reminded you.
Thanks.
Sorry.
I guess.
The Dogs will bring it full force and won't let up until the clock ticks to zero, except for, of course, that one of Kirby Smart's best friends is the interim head coach at South Carolina right now. You all know Mike Bobo. So I think we have the potential to cover the 21.5, but I'm picking the Dogs to win and South Carolina to cover because I just don't think Kirby's going to do that.
He's not going to intentionally run the score up. At this point, we're kind of out of the college
playoff. No, but I think he'll take his player. I think he'll start taking people out, letting the subs go in, you know.
But at that point, we're going to have a huge lead. So I think if he starts doing that, I think we're gonna have covered the spread at that point. Now, maybe they can get back in it after that. But look, I'm just done with taking us to cover large spread, like three touchdown plus spreads this year. We talked about this last week,
and I picked us to cover, and we won so by a touchdown. It was so embarrassing.
I know, and that's it for me. Like, the last big spread that we've covered that I picked us to cover was Arkansas week one. We almost didn't cover that one. So I'm just, I know that South Carolina is undermanned. I know they're decimated in the secondary. They were already terrible coming into last week. They were 12th in the SEC in total defense, in passing defense. They were 13th in pass defense efficiency, giving up more touchdowns through the air than any team in the SEC. And then they now have their top three DBs out. You have both cornerbacks, McQuamu and Horn, R.J. Roderick, of all three opted out to prepare for the NFL draft. I don't know what R.J. Roderick's doing. That guy is not going to get drafted in the NFL. He's terrible. But those guys are gone. So they're already terrible. Now they're without their three best DBs. And it's like, well, okay, well, I guess good luck. And we have JT Daniels, right? So you see him come out there, put up 400 plus yards passing against Mississippi State. But look, South Carolina is not going to play us the same way that Mississippi State did. Not when they see what we have with JT Daniels. We have the receivers. Jermaine Burton's really coming on, obviously. Almost. Really came so close to setting the single game receiving record for Georgia. Why do we not try to get the football to him? Just help him set that record. Like, basically, he got within like 8 yards of it, and then we just didn't even try to throw him the football the rest of the game. And it's just like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Get the guy the ball. And then you got George Pickens is coming back, obviously. So I see why the spread might be 21.5. The matchups certainly favor us in this game. I just don't think South Carolina is going to give us the looks to put up 400 plus yards in the air like we did against Mississippi State. Which what that should do, though, is open up the ground game to have a lot more success than we did last week. You know, the offensive line is going to be chomping at the bit, trying to get out there and make amends for what was just a poor, poor showing last week. We absolutely should win this game. There's really no match on the field that favors South Carolina. I mentioned on the preview show, their con card on offense, what they're really good at is running the football. Kevin Harris is a big physical throwback kind of back, a guy that I grew up kind of loving, those kind of running backs, not Harris in particular, but that style of back. And Bobo's kind of run that old school offense back from like circa 2006. But the thing is, our defense is still only giving up 75 yards a game on the ground. Jordan Davis has a good chance he might be back. So it's strength versus strength. As good as they are running the football, they're just not going to be able to do that with a lot of consistent success against our rush defense. And if Luke Doty's the guy at quarterback, yeah, he adds an element to the run game. But as a freshman, the guy, he's not ready to go out there and take advantage of our secondary, which has been shaky at times. It's better offenses. But this is one of the worst offenses that we've played all year. Certainly their passing attack. So I just don't think they're equipped to take advantage of any issues that we might have had in the secondary. There's not a matchup in this game that favors South Carolina. So we should win this game easily, comfortably. But you're right, Charlie. With Mike Bobo there, that element, I don't think Kirby's going to try to run the score. I think if we have a lead in the second half, it's kind of like when we played there in 2018. Remember that game, coming to that game, Charlie? People were talking about all offseason long that South Carolina was going to win the East. They're going to beat Georgia in week two and upset us. And we go out there early in the game and we take it to them. In the second half, we basically sat on the ball and we didn't even try to score. And that's before Bobo was even there. So I think we have a similar type game this year where we get up early in the game, but we just sit on the ball and just don't even try to score in the second half. So yeah, I don't think we're going to cover this game. We haven't covered these big spreads in a long time. And with Bobo there, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to win comfortably, but cover the spread? No, we're not covering 21.5. So that's it.
That's it.
That's it? That's it for the picks. All right, week 10 picks. There we go, guys. I know it's a little bit of an abbreviated episode, but we got back on Thanksgiving night. Wanted to put some content out there for you guys and make sure we keep our picks of the week going. So hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Hope everyone had an awesome Thanksgiving with your family, stayed safe, had some good food, and enjoy your football weekend. We've got a couple more of these, at least a couple more, hopefully. And who knows how long they'll extend this into the future because all the COVID situations, maybe they just push everything back. Who knows? But enjoy the weekend, guys. Thanks for listening. For Charlie, I'm Tyler. And as always, go Dawgs!